who is forbearing should be careful that he shouldn't do that without understanding. That understanding should be there. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the opportunity and the ability to balance these states in our lives and to be able to have that knowledge together with those states of forbearing and having that hilm in our hearts. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال هناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Round the World with Reporters.
In reaction to the stance of French President Emmanuel Macron in defense of the offensive caricatures of Prophet Muhammad, the Iranian daily Vatan Emruz published a cartoon of Emmanuel Macron represented as a demon, accompanied by the title The Devil of Paris. This cartoon came after a wave of angry protests and reactions swept across the Muslim world, after the French president defended the Charlie Hebdo publication of the insulting Prophet Muhammad cartoon, declaring that France will not give up cartoons. The Macron remarks have triggered anti-French sentiments in the Muslim world, prompting calls for the boycott of French goods and an official apology.
I believe the republication of the offensive Prophet Muhammad cartoons is aimed at testing the unity of Muslims in the face of any sacrilegious act against their sanctities. The second point I think the French government is after is to make such insulting cartoons look normal and to promote hatred and Islamophobia in the world.
The publication of the cartoon of Prophet Muhammad outraged Muslims worldwide, but I believe the support of the French president for such offensive cartoons was much more insulting and indeed added fuel to the fire of Muslims' anger.
Daily Kayhan demanded that the French ambassador be expelled from Iran, believing that it would be the least thing to be done in response to Macron's insolence.
The publication of Prophet Muhammad's cartoon shows that the freedom of expression is just a pretext in the hands of the French government and its allies to spread Islamophobia across the world.
Meanwhile, leader of the Islamic Revolution Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei in a letter has urged the French youth to question the so-called reason underpinning French President Emmanuel Macron's support for insult against the Prophet of Islam, peace be upon him, in the name of freedom of speech. After the message of the leader to the French youth, the French Instagram account of the leader's website was blocked. The move is viewed by experts as a double standard policy of the West towards the so-called freedom of expression. At the same time, Iran's president Hassan Rouhani has said any affront directed at the Prophet of Islam is in fact an insult to human values, morality and freedom. President Rouhani has said that supporting those who insult the Prophet of Islam amounts to supporting vice, desecration and extremism. Also in a statement, 240 Iranian lawmakers lashed out at the French government for the move. Moreover, Iranians from all walks of life took part in a protest rally in front of the French embassy in Tehran to protest against the French magazine Charlie Hebdo and the publication of an image of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Iranians believe that fueling Islamophobia and hatred in the name of freedom of expression, which should serve understanding, empathy and peaceful coexistence between human societies, is regrettable. Salman Kujuri, Tehran.
These fighter jets are aligned in one of Iran's major airbases, dubbed Shahid Babai, located in Isfahan province. Their mission is to fly some 250 kilometers away to hit their simulated enemy targets. This is part of the last phase of a large-scale maneuver held by the Iranian Army's Air Force. During the two-day drill, Air Force personnel practiced air-to-air shooting, air-to-surface bombardment using smart bombs and rockets, and radar and thermal missiles. Military officials here say the drill was a success.
We conduct such drills to bolster our defense might. We need to be strong to deter any prospect of war on the part of our enemies. And what we learned through this maneuver is that we have it in ourselves to nip any threat in the bud.
It was Air Force, among other units of the country's military sector, have been under 4 decades of U.S.-led sanctions. This has led the Islamic Republic to rely on its own expertise to build up its defense arsenal. Last month, the United Nations Security Council terminated its arms embargo against Tehran amid a strong opposition from the U.S. Iran emphasizes that with or without the armed bans, the country is capable of defending its security.
The U.S. thought wrongly that its so-called maximum pressure against Iran would bring us to our knees. We proved during the sanctions that any pressure imposed by the United States is doomed to failure. Today, the lifting of the U.N. arms bans definitely gives us an edge. But more importantly, it isolated Washington on the international stage.
Iran's army says today the Islamic Republic produces over 80% of its defense equipment domestically. This, as Tehran underlines, that its military might is based on the doctrine of defense, and that the country will never be the first to pull the trigger.
The Iranian Army's Air Force says it owes its might to decades of arms embargoes led by the U.S., which sought to undermine Iran's security. But in fact, it forced the country to stand on its own feet and indigenize its defense sector. And now that the arms bans are lifted, military officials here say this will definitely give the Islamic Republic an extra boost in its defense agenda. Yusuf Jalali from the location of the drills.
Starting on Tuesday, November 3rd, there will be a second lockdown in Austria to contain a massive second wave of COVID-19 infections across Europe. All events will be cancelled. Hotels, restaurants and bars will close, and a curfew will be in place between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. Universities and classes for older students will switch to distance learning. Chancellor Sebastian Kurz told The Nation, "We will have to do without a lot of what makes up our lives."
If the number of new infections continues to grow so rapidly, Austria's healthcare system, although it's one of the best in the world, will soon be out of capacity.
The country's health minister says Austria is in a race against time.
The turnaround must be achieved by mid-November. Otherwise, doctors will have to choose who to treat via triage. If we act now, we can gradually begin reopening at the beginning of December.
Health authorities are worried about the repercussions of an explosion of infections in October. On Saturday, more than 5,300 new infections were reported across the country, 5 times more than just 2 weeks ago. As a tourist and sport nation, Austria is affected particularly hard by the restrictions. The government has announced that affected businesses will get 80% of their revenue from the same month last year reimbursed if they keep all their employees on the payroll. Anyone not following the new rules could face fines reaching up to 1,500 euros. The question that everyone wants an answer for is when all this will end. The definitive end of all measures will only be possible when there's an effective vaccine, experts say. Austria's chancellor told the people he's confident they can have a normal summer again in 2021. Homa Leski, Vienna.
The United States' separating of Iran from the global financial system has hindered the Islamic Republic's ability to secure supplies of food and drugs as it struggled to rein in a resurgence of the coronavirus outbreak. The U.S. Treasury has time and again claimed that these items are exempted from the sanctions on the Islamic Republic. To delve into the issue, we talked to some MPs to see how Washington's targeting of over a dozen of banks has paralyzed import of drugs.
This is not true. Food and drugs have not been accepted from sanctions. In cases, the Islamic Republic has faced very cruel sanctions in its food and medicine sector. The United States has imposed unlawful sanctions on medical needs of those suffering from rare diseases. They are limiting Iran's access to raw materials to stir up anger among people.
One of the fields in which they are putting pressure on the Iranian nation is the pharmaceutical sector. Medicines are not used in military or nuclear sphere. The sick people need the drugs, but Washington has restricted the import of tablets and injection shots. This reveals their enmity with the Iranian people. I think our people are paying the price of standing on their own feet.
Drug and medical supply companies in Iran are now saying that the new sanctions have affected their work. Iran makes many of its needed drugs inside the country through pharmaceutical research, but treatments for cancer or rare diseases and transplants often rely on imports.
We must expand our knowledge. We must be aware that Iran will always be under sanctions by the Zionists and the U.S. Day by day, these sanctions will be expanded, so we need to have the knowledge to meet our needs by producing medicines domestically.
Iranians' access to medicine and their right to health is being threatened and may worsen if the situation does not change.
After sanctioning 18 Iranian banks as part of its maximum pressure policy, in its latest move, the U.S. government sanctioned Iran's oil minister, oil industry, and related companies. Humam Abedi, Tehran.
Afghans are marking the arrival of the birthday anniversary of the Prophet Muhammad under the name of Unity Week, at a time when Islamophobia is growing in some parts of the world and amid French President Emmanuel Macron's recent insulting comments about the Holy Prophet of Islam, people in Afghanistan are attending ceremonies like this one in Kabul as a show of respect and love for the Prophet of over 2 billion Muslims.
I'm here to show my strong support and deep love for the beloved Holy Prophet. Fortunately, we can attend different ceremonies that deepen our understanding of Islam.
We don't care about insulting words of individuals like Macron. This is especially because our leader, the Holy Prophet, has ordered us to be logically patient. Instead, we mark Unity Week to show how the followers of Islam's Holy Prophet ignore tensions and approve unity.
Based on Islamic beliefs, the arrival of Unity Week, as its title suggests, serves as a big opportunity for Muslims to once again return to the main teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, such as strengthening unity among Muslims. Some others believe that the arrival of the birthday anniversary of Islam's Holy Prophet is also an opportunity for mankind to review the life and words of the Prophet Muhammad to see the real face of Islam.
Unity Week, in fact, brings unity among nations and Islamic societies like Afghanistan. I'm proudly saying it that Afghanistan is one of the leading countries of the Muslim world when it comes to the issue of Islamic brotherhood.
I call on your audience to please study the true life and words of Islam's Holy Prophet. Yes, this is too important for anybody who is seeking truth about Islam and its honorable and holy leader, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Besides calling for boosting Islamic brotherhood among Afghans, those attending ceremonies marking Unity Week say the cementing of national unity among Afghans is one of the musts associated with Unity Week. As observers say, the best way to lead the nation to a real national unity is to remove the obstacles in the way of the ongoing peace talks between the government and Taliban in the Qatari capital, Doha. Sayed Amin Alami, Kabul.
A shutdown is being observed in Indian-controlled Kashmir after New Delhi amended and repealed a series of decades-old land laws of Kashmir. The new reorganization law issued on October 26, 2020, opens up all of Jammu and Kashmir to every Indian citizen and removes every restriction that prevented large land holdings. Allows the Indian Armed Forces to take over land wherever they desire and gives sweeping powers to the government to take over any land and property for industrial use and bring in big businesses to set up their shops. People's Democratic Party President Mehbooba Mufti, while criticizing the government's move, accused India of land grab for big investors. The October 26, 2020 order repealed 13 state laws and amends 14 laws. Experts say this is to further the agenda behind the abrogation. According to historic date check, these laws were introduced to empower the majority Muslims who were suffering immensely under the non-Muslim rulers. Not only this, but the rights to buy and sell land in Kashmir were also confined to the people of Kashmir. Experts say India's move in Kashmir since August 5, 2019 has further internationalized this conflict. In response to the shutdown call by pro-freedom camp of Kashmir, shops and businesses remained closed. Huge number of government forces were seen guarding the streets to avoid law and order problems. Almost seven decades ago, these laws were introduced to empower the Muslim majority of Kashmir. But today, when the Hindu nationalist Bharatiya Janata Party is repealing and amending the same laws, the people of Kashmir are watching over helplessly. Experts say this move clearly depicts India's intentions in Kashmir. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
The U.S. economy just recorded its largest quarter of economic growth ever, 33%. Too bad it comes on the heels of a 31% plunge in the last economic quarter. The seven-month-long failure to pass a second stimulus package pushed stocks to their worst week in 7 months. The U.S. appears to have been taken by surprise by the long-expected autumn wave of coronavirus, with new lockdowns creating major anger among the businesses who weren't bankrupted by the spring lockdowns.
Small manufacturing businesses, even small service businesses, we need to assume their expenses so that when we're on the other side of the pandemic, they're still viable. There isn't a will to do that, and I think that's because the government's really controlled by the major corporations and major banks, and they don't want it.
Pro-Trump media coverage is dominated by the ever-ballooning allegations of major financial corruption by the Biden family. Joe Biden has never disputed the authenticity of the proof which alleges corruption, but he has denied the allegations of corruption. Anti-Trump media is focused on widespread fears of post-election violence.
I tend to think we're going to get through the election okay, you know? But there are enough crazy people out there, and it's been promoted. That type of hatred has been promoted, by Trump. It's been promoted by television stations.
Right-wing media says the polls show that Donald Trump might lose the general election but will handily win the Electoral College vote. Their claim is based around the so-called shy voter theory that Trump supporters aren't talking honestly to polling agencies. Centrist media says the majority of polls maintain a small but narrowing lead for the challenger Joe Biden. They say Biden will win handily when the record number of mail-in ballots are totally counted, which could take many weeks. Add all that up and throw in a few more vital issues which we don't have the space to list, and it's clear that America is heading into a historic election in a hugely chaotic state marked by fear, uncertainty, and hysteria. The vote is on Tuesday, November 3rd. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
More protests were held in the Italian capital on Saturday over the government's decision to impose tougher measures to contain the spread of the pandemic. Early in the afternoon, hundreds of far-right demonstrators staged a rally in Campo di Fiori against a new decree which has ordered the closure of gyms, cinemas and theatres, requiring cafes and restaurants to close their doors at 6 p.m. Clashes with police were recorded during the demonstration. Later on Saturday, another protest was held in Independence Square, not far from Rome's central train station, where thousands of protesters vented their anger at the latest anti-COVID-19 restrictions. This demonstration, dubbed You Close Us, You Pay, was called by a coalition of social movements and base unions.
Unfortunately, the government has done nothing to reduce the flow of travelers on local public transports, which have been turned into hotbeds of COVID-19 transmission. Furthermore, too many workers have not received any payroll subsidies from the government yet. How can they pay their bills and mortgage installments?
The government cannot close cafes and restaurants at 6 p.m. Owners can scrape by, maybe. But what about us workers? These restrictions are killing us.
From north to south, Italy's been hit by a wave of protests, some violent, following the introduction of more stringent coronavirus shutdown measures by the government. The country's interior ministry has warned that these demonstrations have been infiltrated by subversives who are trying to stir up trouble.
As the contagion curve continues to rise in Italy, Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte insists he doesn't want to enforce another lockdown, but many fear a new national quarantine is becoming inevitable.
So many people have already closed like their activity after the first lockdown. Some manage to survive, but they won't survive a second lockdown.
The government is expected to present a decree including new restrictions as early as Monday. Targeted lockdowns and restrictions of movement between regions are among the new measures reportedly being discussed. Max Civili, Rome.
Violent clashes in Pakistani capital Islamabad. Police use heavy shelling to prevent thousands of angry protesters to march towards the French embassy in the capital. Protesters reached near the red zone after they forcibly removed heavy security barriers one after the other on the road leading towards the diplomatic enclave. At the heart of public anger is frequent incidents of blasphemy committed against the Prophet of Islam. Many protesters were injured in the violent clashes with the police. Over a dozen were also arrested.
This is just tip of the iceberg of a public anger against France. Protesters are saying that they are not going to settle down anything short of shutting down French embassy and expelling French ambassador from Islamabad.
French newspapers have repeatedly published blasphemous cartoons under the cover of freedom of speech. However, for Muslims in Pakistan and elsewhere, it was a politically motivated attempt to insult Islam, which, according to a Pew survey, is spreading across Europe. The official patronage to the blasphemers by the French government have added fuel to fire in Pakistan, like elsewhere in the Muslim world.
If someone speaks against the dignity and honor of Rasulullah, then we will say, my mother, my father, my children, each and every one of them, I am ready to sacrifice them on the dignity and honor of Rasulullah. Now we are not going to tolerate it anymore, until and unless the ambassador of France would have been kicked out from Pakistan, we will be here, inshallah ta'ala.
When you abuse of Prophet, when you insult him, nauzubillah, and then when you keep doing it again and again, then we'll definitely respond. Everybody in this world will respond if you keep hurting their sentiments.
In retaliation to controversial remarks of French president against Islam, protesters insulted his images. Anti-France sentiments have surged suddenly at an unprecedented level after repeated incidents of blasphemy of Islam. Similar protests were also held across Pakistan. Like elsewhere in the Muslim world, people have started boycotting French products in Pakistan. Prime Minister Imran Khan says that France under President Macron is encouraging Islamophobia, which is creating further polarization and marginalization of Muslims in the West, that he believes would inevitably lead towards radicalization in the world. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا لسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
The first type of right that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam speaks about in his treatise is the right of God, the right of Allah, Haqqullah.
For Humanity, a commentary on Risalatul Huquq of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam
by Tahir Reza Jafar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'inir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. Welcome to another episode of For Humanity, a program in which we examine the beautiful treatise of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, known as Risalatul Huquq, or the Treatise of Rights. In this treatise, the Imam alayhi salam has mentioned the rights of all the different people from all walks of life whom we may encounter in our daily lives, and he outlines the rights of each and every one of them. We are currently looking at the right of the person who is asked, or the mas'ul. So haqqul mas'ul, or the right of he who is asked. And we saw that the process of asking and the one who asks is known as the sa'il. And the process of giving and the one who gives is the mas'ul. He is the one who is being asked and he is the one who gives or withholds. Both these two individuals have a right. And generally in Islam, there is a lot of emphasis paid to the process of giving, especially charitable giving. Giving in charity is so important in Islam that there is a whole branch of jurisprudence devoted to the obligatory and recommended acts of charity. For example, the obligation to pay the zakat or the khums charities, as well as the recommended sadaqat that one has to give in his life if he wants to attain the status of a pious believer. And when we look at the philosophy of giving and why Islam has encouraged it so much, we find that indeed, if each and every one of us, if each Muslim gave the charities that were made incumbent upon him, then there would be no more poverty in the world. The problem arises when people withhold and do not give the charity as they are supposed to do. This is beautifully explained to us in a tradition from our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in which he says, لو أن الناس أدوا زكاة أموالهم ما بقي مسلم فقيرا محتاجا. It is narrated from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that he said that if all the people gave the zakat from their wealth, if all the people gave the alms tax from their wealth, then there would be no Muslim who remained poor in the world or needy in the world. And so when we look at this, we find that indeed there has been a lot of emphasis put on giving. And that is why even when Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam talks about giving, he says that when you want to give someone some help, if he is a beggar for example, and you think to yourself that this person who is coming to seek assistance from me might be a liar, he might not be truthful, maybe he does not need the money, He is just asking for money to increase his wealth. The Imam says that think to yourself when such thoughts come to your mind and such doubts come to your mind, that it is possible that Shaytan is putting doubts in your mind in order to prevent you from giving charity. Indeed, we find in numerous traditions that Shaytan tries his best to prevent people from giving sadaqah, to prevent people from giving zakat. And so, because these actions take a person closer to Allah, it is an act which brings a person nearer to Allah Azza wa Jal. Shaytan tries to prevent it. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam warns us that if ever you are in this position and doubts start entering your mind about giving charity, then remind yourself that these doubts must be from Shaytan, who is trying to prevent you from giving these charities. And of course, we need to also remind ourselves that the giver, the mas'ul, the one who is being asked, benefits more than the sa'il, than the one who is asking. There is this action of asking and giving. The one who is giving may think to himself that I am losing my wealth by giving it away, but in reality, he is benefiting more than the one who is asking. How is this the case? Because first and foremost, the one who is giving gets two things in return for his giving. The first is that he is amply rewarded by Allah Azza wa Jal. He gains a lot of reward, and this reward comes in the form of material reward in this world, wealth, nobility, respect, because obviously a person who is very philanthropic and very charitable, that person is highly respected in the society. People respect an individual who helps the poor. So by helping the poor, by giving your wealth, you gain respect, you gain, of course, your money back, because Allah has promised that when you spend in my way, I will recompense you manifold. So you get the same amount multiplied by many times over when you spend in charity. So the first reward, therefore, you gain if you are the giver, if you are the mas'ul who gives, is that you recover your wealth and you gain material and worldly rewards. And the second is obviously otherworldly rewards, the foremost of which being proximity to Allah. When you give wealth, it is for at-taqarrub ila Allah. So the giver, the mas'ul who gives, gains more than the sa'il, the one who asks. So these two important points have to be kept in mind as the mas'ul. If somebody comes to ask you, the first thing you remind yourself is, any doubts must be from Shaytan. The second thing you remind yourself is, giving is more beneficial than asking. We pray to Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us the ability to act on these beautiful advices from our A'imma alayhim as-salam. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, we hope you enjoyed the program For Humanity by Brother Taher Reza Jafar. If you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
O mountains of Mecca, bear witness that I, to the oneness of Allah do I testify. For all that He's given me, how can I deny? My purpose in life should be only to cry, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God but Allah, Muhammad is His messenger.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The spreading of hate and misinformation primarily starts with key people and organizations, which are sustained by funding from a clutch of foundations and racist lobby groups. They solicit money by telling public falsely that they are in imminent danger from Muslims and boast a history of fabricated evidence that perpetuates conspiracies of radical Islam infiltrating Europe through immigration, civil rights, and advocacy organizations. It's the same manifesto that is once again being laid out in France and elsewhere in Europe. What else did you expect from the so-called religious tolerance and freedom of speech and expression in the West? Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by the staff of Fars News Agency, published under the heading "Hate Speech is Not Freedom of Speech." Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. Muslims across the globe continue to take part in rallies to protest France's president and his support of secular laws that deem caricatures depicting the Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as protected under freedom of speech. They condemn Emmanuel Macron and members of his government for supporting blasphemous caricatures that are published under freedom of expression. Such depictions are a form of hate speech and they are sacrilegious. Religious leaders have also denounced the purely provocative move, calling it a direct insult to all Muslims. Officials in Iran have also condemned the French government for supporting the sacrilege of Islam's prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, stressing the necessity for Emmanuel Macron to apologize to Muslims. The Iranian Foreign Ministry on Tuesday, October 27th, summoned the French Charge d'Affaires, Florent Adiolet, over the French president's recent remarks against Islam. The truth is every country has its own rules when it comes to freedom of press and speech. But in general, there are four basic stages at which freedom of the press can be limited. Access to information, prior restraint on publishing inflammatory information, libel and invasion of privacy, and requiring reporters to testify or otherwise disclose sources and materials gathered. The lesson to be learned from this is that nothing is certain or ever will be about the subject. Like any precious and constantly threatened right, its only hope for life rests in unrelenting vigilance of those who understand it best and most appreciate its value, the members of the press themselves. While the recent beheading of a teacher in Paris was a heinous crime, and while expression of any opinion is essential for democracy, very few have ever seen Charlie Hebdo and his level of provocation. In 2008, the bi-weekly tabloid fired a cartoonist who had joked about the Jewish faith. The magazine is a voice defending the superiority of France and its cultural supremacy and has a smile racist leadership. which it obtained by selling provocation, exactly the opposite of the view of a world based on respect and cooperation among different cultures and religions. It is sad to see how the racist publication goes on to publish even more blasphemous cartoons, and how a stubborn government continues to prop it up with even bigger political fanfare, and with a helping hand from the infamous Macron. At any rate, the recent incidents in France should be seen as a racist deception, because the subsequent Islamophobia campaign in the form of anti-terror raids and blasphemous cartoons is suspicious and overwhelming. They are never designed to foster interfaith dialogue or understanding between Muslim countries and the West. This is why tensions remain high and will continue to have serious political and cultural reverberations. Angry protests will also continue to take place across the globe, which demonstrate that freedom of speech has its limits when it comes to disrespecting Muslim beliefs and values. Clearly, the French government has once again disregarded Muslim sensitivities and has become a fertile ground for anger and resentment. This is not about a small, tightly networked group of misinformation experts guiding an effort that reaches millions of Westerners through effective advocates, media partners, and grassroots organizing. This is about the fear of the other and its vast right-wing Christian Zionist network that are behind the Islamophobia campaign in Europe and the United States. The spreading of hate and misinformation primarily starts with key people and organizations, which are sustained by funding from a clutch of foundations and racist lobby groups. They solicit money by telling public falsely that they are in imminent danger from Muslims, and boast a history of fabricated evidence that perpetuates conspiracies of radical Islam infiltrating Europe through immigration, civil rights, and advocacy organizations. It's the same manifesto that is once again being laid out in France and elsewhere in Europe. What else did you expect from the so-called religious tolerance and freedom of speech and expression in the West?
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره، همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the programs To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. We're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother, I'm Muhammad. And today, I'm going to read to you an aphorism of Imam Ali from Nahjul Balagha. Before that, let's go ahead and listen to the Arabic words, and after that, I'm going to read you the English translation. Stay with us.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: من أخذ سنان الغضب لله قوي على قتل أشداء الباطل.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "He who sharpens the teeth of anger for the sake of Allah acquires the strength to kill the stalwarts of the wrong."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So, dear friends, one of the great lessons which we learn from the truly universal persona of Imam Ali is the fact that we should have as much knowledge about the Quran as we can. Very beautiful lesson which we learned from Imam Ali. And so we find that Ahmad ibn Hanbal has related. And just in case the brothers and sisters don't know, even though I'm sure you do know, Ahmad ibn Hanbal is the founder of the Hanbali school of thought in jurisprudence. Now, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, again, is the founder of a jurisprudential school of thought which is known among the Ahlul Sunnah brothers as Hanbalis. So we have four main schools of thought in the Ahlul Sunnah brothers. We have Hanafis from Abu Hanifa. We have Malikis from Anas bin Malik. We have Shafi'is from Shafi'i. And we have Hanbalis who follow Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So this is a Sunni scholar and a very well-known Sunni religious leader by the name of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who relates from Umar ibn Khattab, the second caliph, that the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, used to say to Ali alayhi salam,
You, Ali, have the most knowledge of Quranic verses among them. Allahu Akbar. It's really, one is left speechless. Imam Ali also was a great scholar of the Torah, which is the book of Moses, the Injil, the Bible, which is the book of Jesus, and Zabur, the Psalms, which are the Psalms of David. And so Imam Fakhruddin Razi, who again is one of the Sunni scholars, he has quoted the following saying of Imam Ali in his book by the name of Arba'in. Imam Ali says, "If I am given rulership, I will judge the people of Torah, the book of Moses, by the Torah, the people of Injil, the book of Jesus, Hazrat Isa, by the Injil, and the people of Zabur, the Zabur of Prophet Daud, David, by the Zabur, and the people of the Quran, the Muslims, the book of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, by the Quran, so perfectly that each book would say, Ali has commanded regarding us the same as is the command of Allah." Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. God is great, God is beautiful, God is magnificent. We find here, brothers and sisters, that what is the great lesson? That we should have the most knowledge of Quranic verses. We should read the Quran, we should understand the Quran, we should love the Quran, we should have knowledge about the Quran. And a great scholar is not necessarily somebody, you know, who is the best doctor, or the best engineer, or the best lawyer. Yes, these things in their own right are very good, but the greatest scholar is one who has the knowledge of religion, the knowledge of faith, who has wisdom, who is wise, who is knowledgeable about the Islamic commandments, about the Quranic verses, about what Islam is. A very beautiful and truly profound lesson from Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding knowledge about the Quran, again brought to us all by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبيب لها ولا راغي
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, about the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Surah Baqarah, ayat number 269, he says, he gives wisdom to whomever he wants. And whoever is given wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he indeed has been given goodness in abundance. Khayran kathira. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bless someone, then who can be there in between and say, oh, why it happened this way? When it comes to the wisdom and the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the people, Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam is the prime example of that. As the Prophet applied the ayat from Surah Al-Haqqa, Udhunun wa'iyya, the ears which can retain the message, applied that to Ali. That is, not only that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered me to teach him what I have. And this is amazing, that the Prophet used to say that everything which all the Anbiya had, I was given. And then I was given extra, because I have been given things which were not given to the others. And all that, Rasulullah is teaching Ali. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equipping him with that ability, ubunun wa'iyya, with the ears and the mind and the heart and the memory which can retain it. And that is where we see that, you know, according to Al-Waqidi, who is one of the compilers of the khutbas of Amir al-Mu'minin before Sayyid Razi, says that Ali is actually from the mu'jizat, from the miracles that Allah has given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.